Rabbi Rowe, are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Torahway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Memhei Lo'oime, the 12th of May, Rabbi Daniel Rosh Lita. What actually happened at Har Sinai?
Okay. Shalom, everybody. So on the one hand, very simple as we approach Matan Torah. Matan Torah was what happened there is the giving us Esa Dibros. Right, the Ten Commandments that are given. On the other hand, it turns out to be not so simple and not so straightforward. On several levels, it both sounds like that's a description. That description that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and gave us the Aseres HaDibros, Ten Commandments, is both too little and too much, as we'll see. But before we explore that, there's perhaps an even bigger question, which is it seems that everything we received on Shavuos, we lost. We receive later the Luchos, they are smashed and destroyed. We have to have Luchos Shniyos, that's Yom Kippur. We received the Dargah of Poskus Zomos, the filth or the poison or whatever it is of the serpent or the snake of Gan Eden was gone. And the people were at the level of Gan Eden and Tchias HaMeisim. That was also gone. They had, the Gemara Shabbos tells us, they each had these crowns, the Malachi HaSharis, they were also gone. So everything that we got on Shavuos seems to have been lost. And that raises the question then of what is it that we are celebrating? What we got on Pesach was not lost. What we got on Yom Kippur was not lost. What we got on Shavuos seems to have been lost. So that's a background question. But now let's therefore explore exactly what it was that happens on Matan Torah. So we know we receive the Aseres HaDibros. We know we receive the Ten Commandments. At the same time, the Pasuk in Mishpatim that describes coming up perhaps straight after Matan Torah, so on this already, you know, puts it that that we say, Ale elai ha-horov ha-yashom ve-etzana l'chos es luchos ha-even va-torov ha-mitzvah she-kosavti lo-hoi-roisom. Right? Come up and I'm going to give you the luchos ha-even, these stones that are going to have and the Torah and the mitzvah she-kosavti I've already written lo-hoi-roisom. And Chazal ha-dorish the Gemara in Brachos, that this includes everything. The amount of words used here, so that's going to include the Torah, it's going to include Mishnah, it's going to include the Gemara, it's going to include everything, as we say. That Kol Masha Talmud Vastik Asid Lechadish, anything future Talmud will be Mechadish is already there. But here it's referring to specifically the Luchos themselves. In other words, the Luchos themselves contain Kol HaTorah Kula. The Giloy of Har Sinai contains Kol HaTorah Kula, not even just Torah Shebichsav, but far more than that. At the same time, we also find the famous problem that the Aseres HaDibros, you know, in Parashat Shmos, we have the words, well, now Aseres HaDibros repeat, obviously, Shmos in Parashat Yisroi and Parashat Vayeschanan. And in Parashat Yisroi and Vayeschanan, the wording is almost identical. There's a few letters that are different, except in particular, some parts that are significantly different, like Shabbos. In Parashat Yisroi, we have Zachos Yom HaShabbos HaKadoshoy. In Vayeschanan, Shomos Yom HaShabbos HaKadoshoy. And actually, then the wording afterwards carries on. There's plenty of difference after. In Vayeschanan we had Kashet Tzivcha Hashem Lekecha, then Yav Yitzron Sheis Yom Tov V'Asisa Kol Melachtecha, and then Yom Hashvi being Shabbos. We had in Ila Hashem Lekecha, Lo Yisasa Kol Melacha, Tovin Chavidecha V'Avtecha V'Amaschem Shorcha, etc., etc. In Yisrael V'Emtecha, in Vayeschanan Shorcha V'Chamorcha, etc. In Vayeschanan there's extra words of L'Man Yenuch Adecha V'Amascha Kamoicha, and Vezacharta Kiev Adayisa Beretz Mitzrayim, talking about remembering being Avodim and the Nafkamina for your Avodim. Whereas in Paris Yisroel, it's about Kisheshis Yom Mas Hashem, Es Hashemayim Es Haaretz, Es Yom Mas Kol Hashabom, Vayanach B'yem Hashvi. Alkein Berech Hashem Es Yom Hashabos Vayakadashayu. So the Nusach is different. It's not just Shomar Vezachar. Rashi famously quotes on this. On Zachos Yom Hashabos, he says, Zachar V'shomar B'dibur Echad Ne'emru, right? Rashi says, how do you reconcile the two accounts of it? It was said b'dibur echad in one single pronouncement. He brings other examples. But he says that it's in a way that that he quotes the pasuk of Achas Dibra Elokim, Shtaim Zushamati. God said one, I heard two. Right? And this raises what does that mean? Right? In Vaishanan he says, Shnei Bedibra Echad, Uvateva Achas Namru. There it's referring specifically to Shamar and Zachar. They were said in one word, in one single word. It wasn't that Hashem said two lots of words, one word. V'shmiya achas nishmon, were heard in one ear, right? That the question is what exactly this means and how you then run that through the rest of the Dibur of Shabbos. In other words, Hashem says something that is two words in one. He says two sentences in one. What exactly does this mean and how exactly are we meant to understand it? And by the way, if that is the case, then why in Parashat Yisro did not write both out? Right, that's an obvious problem. And then we have the Rambam. The Rambam in the Moira in the second Chelek in Perek Lamed Gimel says as follows. He says that actually what happened at Har Sinai, and he argues it from the Pesukim, other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam on this, but he says, Nearly Kibmavat Har Sinai Loya Kolamagila Moshe, right, Kolamagila Kol Yisrael, and Adibula Moshe Levadai. The only one who understood the words of Mavad Har Sinai is Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And therefore, that's why the Lashon HaSeres HaDibros is B'yochid, right? And what did the people hear? What did the people grasp? They were all standing there. So the Rambam says, Shmias Oysa HaKoil HaOtzum, that's what they heard. They heard this koil, and he types up the psukim that the people heard this awesome koil, and Moshe Rabbeinu grasped it immediately as words, and then Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted the words to them. Pella. So, on the one hand, we got within Shavuos potentially Kol HaTorah Kula, everything that even that every Mishnah Mikra, every Mikra Mishnah Gemara, and every Chiddush that's ever said is all potentially there. At the same time, we actually have this. We're not sure, is it really the words of the, as we read them in Yisroel or Vaishanan or something quite different? And at the same time, we have the Rambam who says, actually, for Klal Yisrael, it was a koil. It was this voice without an immediate grasp. Only Moshe Rabbeinu heard it directly as words, and everybody hears it slightly differently. So we need to make sense of all of this. Let's see if we can make some kind of sense of all of this. Another ha'ara to be mayor is the loshon that we have of Cholom, that all the people of Roim Asakoilos, they see the voices. This is something that is Rabbah Mamafarshim. There's a lot of discussion on it, but let's just state the problem very clearly, that it is not possible to see koilos, right? You can't see voices. What's that? Yeah, Roim Asakoilos. How can you be Roim? What's that mean? Sight and sound both refer to things that take place in the human mind. There's no such thing as a coil in the actual world. What happens is you've got waves. Waves strike the ear, right? The eardrum sends a bunch of signals to the brain, and the brain produces a coil. That's where it exists. It produces a noise, just like a colour. Waves hit the eye, nerves send it to the brain, and the brain in the mind paints a picture with colours. So you can't be roya, a coil. You can't see a sound. This is not something you could do. You can see sound like waves, but that's not a sound. When it makes a noise, it doesn't make a color. So, what does it mean, Roim Asakoilos? And final point. Well, actually, maybe let's start there. I want to start there with the Torah of Rav Moshe Shapira. And then Be'ez Hashem will trace it through the Maharal, and then we will see if this answers our questions and give us another angle, another Havana of Yom Matan Torah. What Rav Moshe wants to answer, and I don't know if it's his chiddush or he has a makar for it, I haven't seen, is like this. There is a well-known yesod, the difference between shmia and re'ia is always that shmia is a faculty we have to absorb something part by part, not at once. For example, when we listen to music, we hear one note, followed by another, followed by another. The music comes from the pattern over the whole thing, over a whole set of notes together, that produces something beautiful. Or when someone's speaking, we listen. That means, right, you can't give a shir in a second, in a split moment. You have to, like, explain. And each sentence takes time to articulate this. Each word, several syllables, and so on. So you speak about a syllable, another, it forms a word. The word itself doesn't yet have a meaning, but it has a position within a sentence. The sentence conveys a meaning. Okay, we've got, then another sentence conveys another meaning, and so on. And then we start to build where the person's going or where the idea is coming from. This is shmia. Shmia is by definition a process that takes time. Re'ia is the opposite. Re'ia is something we grasp all at once. Sometimes we need to then focus on a detail. But re'ia is an all-at-once grasp. The human is particularly good at re'ia, by the way, in general. That's one of the reasons why we've been superior to machines at driving cars for a very long time. Because our koyach re'ia, we can grasp. You can, without a single calculation, you can know if you're likely your car is going to hit the one in front. Re'ia is very powerful. It grasps the thing all at once. And it's a remarkable koyach. But they're different. Re'ia is generally the ability to grasp at once, and shmia, of course, you can be roya many things one after another, but shmia is the ability to grasp it piece by piece by piece. And he therefore says that this is a key, he wants to bring this as a very interesting example, even in the nusach of why in Talmud Bavli we use words like toshma and in Yerushalmi tochazi, because a typical Yerushalmi, the zaya tochazi, because a typical Yerushalmi sug is much more brief, much more direct. This is the MS. Whereas a Bavli, the Toshma process is slowly reconstructing, bring a Brisa. Maybe backwards, possibly it could be Chesur Mechsur, it could be this, what about this, what about this, what about this? Let's develop, have a minute, let's slog it up. Let's slowly build the picture. Shmia is hearing, is slowly building the picture. Re'ia is directly grasping the picture. Normally Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, what you got to do? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You got to be, this is an avoid of the whole of history, to hear the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Mamat Har Sinai was at Har Reis Al Adas. You were shown. You got it in a re'iyah. The moment of Mamat Har Sinai was a transcendent moment where suddenly the whole Hashkochas Hashem, the whole Rotzon Hashem, is revealed in a way that what is normally shmia, what normally takes time, maybe thousands of years to grasp and understand, could be grasped in an instant. The vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the rotzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all graspable in an instant. That is called royim es hakolus, says Rav Moshe. That's called seeing that which is normally a koil, a voice. The koil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in history, the voice that takes the whole of history to hear, became one re'iyah. That was what they were roya. The full rotzon Hashem. The gilei of Torah, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in the Torah, what He wants it to achieve, what He wants, the goal of each mitzvah, that was all nira in a single instant. And with that key, what we have to understand, therefore, is Mamat Har Sinai is transcending the ordinary use of words, of language, of letters, of things that are process-driven. The Maharal in the Gevuras Hashem asks on the original encounter of Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parashat Shemos. He goes through many prokim analyzing each part of the episode there. And in Perek Chof Ches, I think it is, he says, on Moshe Rabbeinu talking about when he said, Lo Yishtvarim Anochi, and Moshe Rabbeinu used a lot of Rishonos to describe the fact that he can't speak in Kvat Per, Aral Sfasayim. And our typical image is that there was a speech problem. And there are some, there's some Mepharish it that way. But the Maharal says, if we listen carefully, there's a few problems with that. There's a conceptual problem. What argument's that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm the infinite creator of the universe. I'd like you to go on a mission. What sort of reply is it to say, well, I've got, you know, some speech problem. What a stammerous. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never thought of that? Misam Pela Adam is like, it's too obvious, doesn't need to. A question to be answered. But more than that, the language doesn't quite say that. Aral Sfasayim, what does it mean? A strange word. Uncircumcised of lips. What does that exactly mean? And perhaps most strongly of all, what happens to Moshe Rabbeinu's speech problem in the rest of Torah? We don't find he has the whole Sefer Devarim, a great speeches of Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, what happened there? Where's he? No problem speaking at all. The Maharal says this. Incredible yisoid. These words, you can hear it in the words kvad paral sfosayim, they don't mean a speech impediment. They mean unable. Something that's orel is not matured, it's not able to develop and give its fruit, like a tree that's an orel, or a person who's not at the mila and can't be part of, can't enter klal yisrael, right, is an orel. Aral sfosayim means they're blocked in the ability to do something or to express it properly or to be or to develop it properly. The Aralus of the Sosayim and Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kavad Pa, all these things, are because Moshe Rabbeinu is Tanakh Kadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Maharal. That Loish Dvarim Anoichi, I'm not a man of words, I can't put this into words. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Maharal puts it, is so Nivdal Menachomi, he's so out of the world. His encounter with Kadosh Baruch Hu, or perhaps if he's some Midrashim ready from birth this way, is that he is living on a Daragon, a Madrega, he's at a level of consciousness and awareness that is so attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're on that level, you can't put it into words. The truth is, even if we have experiences that are incredibly unusual, a high that is we don't think anyone else has had, or chas v'shalom a low that we don't think anyone else around us has, to put it into words is so difficult. Why? Not just because it's painful sometimes, but actually the opposite. Because words are designed for things we share. That's the whole point of a word. When we say table or chair or happy or sad, these are things we can all experience. They're intersubjective. They are things all of us experience. And so we can use the words and understand that my idea has just gone into your head, your idea has gone into my head using these words. The minute one of us has something that nobody else has an experience of, the word necessarily can't express what's going on. The word misses the point. You know, you've had an elation that is so beyond, and you try and say happy. No, because you mean happy like when you eat an ice cream. That's not what I mean, right? So we don't have words for these things. Moshe Rabbeinu's Madrega is a Madrega beyond words. The Shlach Kodesh brings, I think, B'Shem the Avodah Kodesh, that the deepest part of Torah is called Soid. Soid means a secret. How can a level of Torah be a secret? How can it be a secret? A secret is something you didn't tell somebody, right? If you tell somebody, it's not a secret. If you don't tell somebody, it is a secret, right? So there's no intrinsic level of knowledge that's a secret. So he brings, the Shlach Kodesh brings, that actually, no, there's a level of Amkos HaTorah that is beyond where words can go. You can use words to take somebody up to there, but they'll always be what Chazal called Rosh Prokim. They're not the words. They're not the experience of it itself. Even if you know it and understand it, it's solid, it's secret. They can't be put into words. Moshe Rabbeinu's Daraga is a Daraga, that a level that cannot be articulated in words. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is my problem. You're telling me to go to Paro and explain what just happened, that I encountered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that his Rotzon is Klal Yisrael and this. How? These are concepts that if you put them into words, don't really say what's going on. If I put them into words, they don't articulate. I can't put it into words. Even before this encounter, I couldn't. And on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says different things. He says along the way, but ultimately, it's Aaron Achicha Yenaviyecha. Aaron will be your he'll be your navi. You'll mumble and fumble and just throw words, and he'll get what you're trying to say, and he'll translate it. When does all of this change?
How could he give you the experience?
Yeah, you can't. He won't give. He will never convey to Paro the full Daraga that Moshe Rabbeinu is on. He'll never convey fully, but he'll convey enough that that's what Paro needs to hear and understand. The Navi never conveys the full Yedias Hashem either, right? They convey the best of your ability. But what happens, when does that change? A Matan Torah. What happens at Matan Torah? A Kodesh Baruch Hu takes a level that is beyond words, completely beyond words. The infinite dimension, the Rotzon Hashem, and brings it down into finite words, shows how to put it into letters and words. At that point, Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, now I too can speak. And he learns how to put into words the Devar Hashem, the ideas of Kodesh Baruch Hu, the whole Sefer Devarim. Lefi this, we can suggest the following. What the Rambam's telling us is that what happened at Har Sinai was lemala from words. It was a coil. That coil was beyond words. You couldn't put it into words. That's what they experienced. The whole people were lifted to the impossible level, to that level that Moshe Rabbeinu was on, of the Loish Dvarim. They were suddenly all not Anshei Dibur. All they have is a coil. You grasp Hashem beyond words, way beyond words. And what you have is this coil. They couldn't put it into words. But Moshe Rabbeinu's Madrega was so deep that he understood how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at that moment he grasped how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that translated into words, into a small finite group of words that through Oymek of Droshon, backwards, contain infinite expression, contain the whole of Torah. Words that are more than words. Now, this is the point. When you hear that coil and somebody says, what was it? You couldn't put it into words. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and says, let me tell you how to... that was the words. Rasha, Tzichah, Meret, Mitzrayim, etc., etc., etc. When it comes to Shabbos, the way to put that into words is Zachar, Siyam, Shabbos, and Shomar. You need both to even capture what that coil was saying at that particular point. You can't capture it only with one set of words. Why Takat Zatar only give us one here and the other? So the Ramban explains. Because the Zohar is the goal, be Shabbos conscious, and Shomer is the means. By being Shomer Shabbos, you get there. Okay, but they were all there. If you had to put the coil into words, you would have to really put both Zohar and Shomer to capture what was going on. Bedibur Echad. Just to capture the... In other words, the Aseres HaDibros is the articulation of the coil. It's the translation of the coil into words. When Moshe Rabbeinu says it, the people are like, yes, 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 that's what the coil was. That's it. That makes sense. That's the right way to say it. And now, within that coil and within those Aseres HaDibros, is still even more potential. And even more. The famous kasha of how can you have an Eluf, Eluf, it's all Mishnah and all Gemara, all different shittas. And the answer is yes. If you tell them, Beis Shammai says this, yes, that's consistent with the coil. The coil is the Aseres HaDibros, but it was even beyond that. And yes, every single halacha that will ever be taught, and every shitta that is a legitimate shitta within that, is consistent with the experience of the coil. If you're hearing the coil, you have to put it into Aseres HaDibros. But your experience of Rotzon Hashem, your experience of the coil is touching the depth of Rotzon Hashem, Hashem's will and desire. And you can see how Beis Shammai Shitta fits in with it. It's consistent with the vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, and so is Beis Hillel's.
So it's one coil, and I say it's deeper, so when he said 10 things, he didn't say that. He said one thing, he said one thing, 10 things, and each thing is understood.
The Rambam says this. Let's say what the Rambam says, let's say what I'm understanding. The Rambam says there's a coil, they can only hear the coil. Moshe Rabbeinu hears within it the Aseres HaDibros. Moshe, they hear one coil, Moshe hears
Aseres HaDibros. But the whole thing is one coil.
No, one sec. The whole Aseres HaDibros is ultimately in one second. It's one coil if it's Klal Yisrael listening. All they can hear is one coil. Moshe Rabbeinu can hear within that coil all Aseres HaDibros, on both versions. Within that coil, he hears it being translated. It's a much higher madrega. To sort of vaguely grasp what Rotzon Hashem is and being blinded by the light of it is an incredible supernal level beyond where almost any Navi will ever go. But to go even higher than that is then to see how Hashem wants that crystallized into the words that will actually capture it. Only Moshe Rabbeinu could achieve that. By Zohar V'Shomar, no. By Zohar V'Shomar, the problem is that even just there's somewhere in there's a Shabbos concept. To articulate fully exactly what's in there, you need both Zohar V'Shomar to exactly capture that bit. In other words, there's an Oich HaShem Rekach on that coil. Moshe Rabbeinu heard it as words. Moshe Rabbeinu could hear it as words. It's like a person who hears a really loud noise and just can't discern any sounds within it. But if your tuning is even more refined, then you suddenly hear all the words within
it. Always under lupus, according to them.
Oh, so that's a separate question. Now we have to look in the Ramban and the Benes and it's this and it's that, or is it just the Zohar? But that's already a separate. That's a separate question. I'm talking about what I'm trying to get to here is the experience of Matan Torah is this experience of almost the klal is the coil, this pure inner rotzon, undifferentiated, like a pure light. It refracts into protein, into details. Actually, within it, if you could hear like Moshe Rabbeinu, you would hear all the Aseres HaDibros and both versions. then it refracts further and further and further, and that becomes the whole of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh, and every shitta within it is like a further and further refraction, but it's all Namru Mesinai. And therefore, and this is therefore what's happening. So what we're doing now, I want to explain something that is incredible about this, therefore. Because it is true. It is true, as I started with, that on some level we lost all of this. We lost the Luchos that contained it, that somehow contained all of this in the Luchos. And we lost the Madrega of being back in Gan Eden. And we lost the Madrega of Tchias HaMeisim. And we lost all of that. But we remain mechubah to that voice, to that coil, the whole time. Every single time, that coil stayed in the world. That voice stayed in the world. And its details unfold and unfold. Every single time we keep a mitzvah, we are bringing that coil, that voice into action, and that voice enters our brain, reshapes its neurons, if you like, enters our mind, and then our body becomes a vessel, a kli, for enacting the rotzoin that was in that coil of Har Sinai. And every time we learn Torah, our mind and our brain envelops, not just... the loss of the Tanya on this is absolutely beautiful. The Baal HaTanya says, right near the beginning, actually, in the fifth parak of Likutei Maharim, he just, I'll see if I can quote a little bit of it inside, just have 2 or 3 minutes. He says like this, he says that whenever you have any concept, so when your mind grasps any concept, it kind of envelops the concept. It's inside, the concept and the mind become one. So think what it means that when Chochmosa Ritzon Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he talks about, for example, a halacha, like Sheyitoin Uvein Kach Vakach, Derech Moshe Vashimon Kach Vakach, Yeh Psak Beinayim Kach Vakach. You're learning a sugya, and it's a Toyin V'nitzon sugya. And so is tainaying this, you know, and this one's tainaying that. My boy's Bahayara, you know, Pranya Zavinta, the Zavna Minocho, whatever you're learning. And there's a Toyin, and there's a Nitan, and Chazal are working out what's the Rotzoin Hashem in this situation. You know, is it this? Is it this? It's a Migu, it's a Chazokar, it's a this, it's that. What's going on exactly in that? What we're doing is we're taking the coil of Har Sinai, we're taking the Rotzoin Hashem, and we are understanding what Hashem wants in that situation. How that coil translates into that situation. Maybe it's got more than one possibility it's translated into that situation. Maybe it's got this shitter and this shitter. And then how the Rishonim then break that down, and there's this possibility or this one. And this and this. We're taking that voice and drawing it. And as our mind becomes aligned with this is how I will behave, our entire brain has just become heard the coil of Har Sinai and reshaped itself around the Har Sinai. It says like this. Once it's Shekach Olabrit Soin of Chachmasa Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are aligning ourselves with what arose in the mind and the wisdom that HaKadosh Baruch Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachal Yuzah Shem Yitain Zekach Chachach etc. etc. Kshadam Yodeh Masim Besichle Psak Zekah Alocha Arucha B'mishnoi V'gemara. When a person absorbs and understands that this is what the Halacha should be, this is what the Ratzon Hashem should be, as a Masik V'Toifus or Makif Besichloi, what it grasps and envelops within his mind, that you absorb that which is unabsorbable. You absorb a piece of, as it were, of the infinite will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on, the poetry is so beautiful, I wish I had time to read the whole thing, but the idea that coil is refracting and living all the time. That we are always mechuba back to that coil of Har Sinai, that which was lemala midevarim, that only Moshe Rabbeinu grasped how to put into devarim. That is what was there at Har Sinai, and that is the coil we hear and reconnect ourselves to every single Shavuos and every single day and every single piece of Torah we ever keep, and even more, every single piece of Torah we ever learn. Kadosh Baruch should help us have the simcha that to be mashmiya the coil, and its full giloy should be the pay of the Amen. Thank you.